As we start our study this morning, I want to remind you that we finished chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and we're starting in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 was our study for the two preceding weeks. As we go into chapter 2, we are actually looking at a subject that vitally concerns each one of us, and that is growing up. You know, someone said to me, I guess it was when we were at a minister's gathering, and I was with a group of ministers who were really laughing and having a good time, and as most of you know, I enjoy doing that, and have to kind of ask the Lord for help sometimes to hold that in check. And I was just having a great time, and one of my very close friends in the ministry walked up to me and said, "Jim, what do you plan to do when you grow up?" I got the point. And I think in Christian living, I read something while I was preparing for this study, and it said, some Christian lives, I'm just going to read this as a quote, some Christian lives are prolonged childhood that merge into premature senility. That's very sad. I don't want your Christian life to be like that. And neither does the Lord. The Lord wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to come to a point of responsibility in our life. And it's very, very important. So let's just bow and ask Him to really quicken our hearts for this study today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will let the Holy Spirit hover over us, and that you will let that blessed Spirit in our lives prepare a readiness to receive your word. That your word in coming to us may do something in our lives. Hallelujah. Father, we claim today that thy Spirit will speak to every one of us through the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I may take the last couple of verses of chapter 1 to read with you in review. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 23. 1:23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. You have been born again through what? Through the Word. I wonder if all of you know that the seed that brings the new birth into being in your spirit, just like a woman's body must receive a male seed in order to become pregnant and have a child, so your spirit had to receive seed. And the seed that came into your spirit was the Word. And God took that Word, that imperishable Word, and He germinated and brought forth new life in you. Hallelujah. Do you remember when the Word was first coming to you? Do you remember what went on inside of you when you first started to receive the Word and it started to work in you? It was getting ready to bring forth new life. All right, it says verse 24, for all men are like grass, and all of their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Isn't that wonderful? You don't ever have to worry about God's word. It will never perish. It cannot. It will never perish. And as this word, and this is the word that was preached to you. Now, we're ready for chapter 2, but I'm going to read verse 2 before I read verse 1, and you will see why in just a moment. Notice chapter 2 begins with that word, therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, it always tells you something. What is that? What was just said is the reason for what I am going to say. therefore ties two things together. Because of this, this. Because of this living word that became the seed in you, that brought about a new birth. Because of that. Now, let me read verse 2. And as you know, I have the New International. Like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, I really like King James better in that verse. It says, therefore, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The appetite of a baby is almost legendary. How many of you have ever lived in a house where a newborn baby was brought home from the hospital and you were part of the family where that newborn baby was? Hold up your hands. Let me see. Hold them up. Let me see. Almost everybody. All right. You know what I'm talking about. You feed the baby just before you put it to bed for the night. And because you've had such a busy day, you say, ah, at last the baby is to bed. Now we can get our rest. Big joke. The baby goes to sleep about 11 o'clock. And if you're lucky, the baby sleeps till 2. And then all of a sudden you hear that little tiny package start to make more noise than you have ever heard out of one human being in all your life. And what is that child saying? I'm hungry. Hungry? You just ate 3.5 hours ago. You put the baby to sleep at 2:30. Now, it's very nice for fathers, the way things are arranged these days. When I was a father, there weren't many nursing mothers, and doctors were not advocating that. And so it was bottles. And a lot of mothers thought, hey, I had the baby, you feed it. The kitchen floor was so cold at 2 o'clock in the morning. Five 5:30 again, or 5 o'clock, same thing. And do you know that it is that picture that Peter takes for telling you what your appetite should be for the word? He says, like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may do what? That you may grow. Underscore it. There it is. There is only one thing in all the world that can make you grow in God, and that is the word. Usually, it is a very normal condition that as soon as people are born again, they get a very great hunger for the Word. This book that they always said all their life, I can't understand it. All of a sudden, they can't lay it down. And they wonder, I wonder if somebody sneaked a different book into the same cover. How come I could never understand it before? Well, the reason is you've gotten to know the author. And you get acquainted with the author, you get a hunger to read his book. You fall in love with the author and you'll want to read everything he writes. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, so that you may grow. That's why we provide new discovery classes for our newly saved. Because we want to help them in this insatiable desire that they sense within themselves for the Bible. And yet there are things that they can't put together. And so we're trying to help them understand what this word is saying. Now, have you ever seen a sick baby? Have you ever seen a baby that you couldn't give it enough to eat, and then all of a sudden it develops a sickness and it loses its appetite? And you would do anything to get up at 2 and at 4 and at 6. You would do anything if only you could see that child hungry. But it's lost its appetite. All right, verse 1 of chapter 2 is telling you a list of sicknesses that will cause spiritual babies to lose their appetite. Let me read it to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all, and now he starts to mention off these sicknesses. I hope you have something to take a few notes on. I want to give you some definitions for these sicknesses because they're pretty prevalent. They're pretty common. Okay, you might want to put some definitions in your margin if you can write small. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice. Do you know what malice is? Malice, the dictionary says, is settled ill will. Settled ill will. You know what that means? Let me give it to you in plain English. A mean disposition. Malice is just being mean. Now, I can tell just by looking at your reaction, none of you have ever met anybody like that. What are symptoms of this meanness? Let me give you three of them. Being irritable, easily irritated. Have you ever felt that way? Did you ever notice that there are some days when you get up, maybe you don't ever had this, but some days you get up, you can tell, I just wish everybody would leave me alone today because my fuse is very short. Irritable, touchy, defensive, and there are some people who, the minute they see you in that frame of mind, they make up their mind they're going to conquer you. They say, here is my challenge for the day. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get close to you. Oh boy. Did you ever get close to sandpaper? Ouch. This was humorous. Another thing that I read this week. A woman was writing about the problems of her life, and she said, I have a boss with a very even disposition. He's always mad. Do you know what God is saying to you here? Here's a sickness. Here's a spiritual malady. Malice. It makes you discourteous, it makes you harsh, it makes you thin-skinned so you can't bear anything. God is saying, notice what he says, therefore rid yourselves. That's how the verse starts. This is something to get rid of. And another, the literal translation of rid yourself means strip it off. Like you do a filthy garment. Just strip it off of yourself. Now, I would like to say that these sins that are mentioned here, these spiritual maladies that are mentioned, are not, you know, if I were to say to you now, God wants you to get rid of things that are going to hurt your spiritual life, what do you think they are? Somebody would say, well, I think adultery. No, God's not talking about wife swapping. Those are major sins of the flesh that God has dealt with when we came to him. And this is the circumcision of the heart that he speaks about, getting rid of all these lustful, sinful things. But now God is pulling the line tighter in your life. Now he's saying, okay, you've had a good new birth. You are a born-again believer. You are a child of God. My word came into you and generated a new life. Now I want you to grow up in me. I'm looking for you to mature. I want you out of kindergarten. But in order to do that, you've got to deal with some heart attitudes. And the first one he mentions is malice. Look at the second one, if you will. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit. King James says guile, doesn't it? Deceit or guile, the same thing. Do you know what the literal meaning of that word is in the Greek? To catch with bait. Oh boy. Do you know what that means? Guile, deceit. Do you know when you go fishing? You know what you put out in the water, that bait? That's to make the fish think it's something that it isn't. That's supposed to look like something that the fish will lick its chops and say, oh boy, there's my supper or my breakfast. And he goes and grabs it, and what's inside? A hook. Deceit is trickiness in your Christian life. It is planned deception. Planned deception. Trickiness in your Christian life. Getting rid of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy. And now I'm going to give you another literal meaning from the Greek for the word hypocrisy. To speak out as from under a mask, a false face. To speak out as from under a mask. What does that really mean? That means that the face that I see does not reveal the true attitude of the person that's speaking. Have you ever worn a false face? You don't have to see people even to wear a false face. You can wear it on the telephone. You're talking to your husband or your wife at home, and you're saying, you know, if there's anybody that I can't take these days, it's Marge. She is just getting under my skin so, you know, I don't even believe she's a Christian. She's just a fake. And the phone rings, and you pick up the phone. Hello? Oh, Marge, it's so nice that you called. How are you? Hypocrisy. Speaking as though from behind a false face. Look at the next one. Envy. Let me give you a definition for envy. I know that you know it's jealousy, but let me give you a definition. It means feeling ill towards someone else's blessings. Someone else gets blessed, and instead of you saying, isn't that wonderful, you say, why wasn't that me? I deserve it more than him. I had a brother come to me some years ago, and he said, Pastor, I am finished seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, why? He said, do you know, I'm having trouble even believing that God sees. I said, what are you talking about? He said, Pastor, last Sunday night, God baptized my wife with the Holy Ghost. Now, he said, anybody would know that I deserve it more than she does. And he was as serious as could be. He said, why would God baptize her in the Holy Spirit before he did me? I'm finished seeking. That's all. I said, brother, do you know that maybe your attitude is the reason? I see an attitude in you that would certainly hinder the blessing of God. Envy. It can even be over spiritual things.